outside the box. Should we keep it or cut it? Today's topic is to cut or not to cut. Yes, that is the question that Congress will face before next January 2013. Should it follow a decision it made in 2011 called sequestration for a 10% across-the-board cut to the federal budget? This includes about $50 billion per year from the military budget, with about an equal amount to be cut from other categories, such as education, health, housing, and energy. Or will it decide to cut differently, or less, or not at all, before a sequestration goes into effect? While politicians claim unanimity in opposing cuts to the military, they apparently haven't asked the public for its opinion. I was part of a group that did a poll of over 3,500 people in Maine during the summer and fall of 2011. We gave each person 10 pennies to put in jars labeled with various parts of the federal budget, including one labeled defense. The response was very different from what the politicians suggest. The federal discretionary budget is where individual taxpayers' money goes, about 56% of that budget, according to the Federal Office of Management and Budget, goes to so-called defense. However, the 3,500 people polled put only about 6% of their pennies in the jar marked defense, about 1/9 of what Congress actually spends. Why this huge discrepancy? The big winners in the poll were education, with about 20% of all the pennies, healthcare with 18%, and veterans benefits with about 12.5%. The only category of the budget ranking lower than defense was general government, which includes Congress and the President, the courts, foreign aid, and the post office. Now, you might think the results could be skewed if the 3,500 people were all polled outside health food stores and community radio stations. But actually, polls were held outside post offices, in downtown squares, community supermarkets, and at polling stations on election day. Just after the November 2011 election, when penny polls were completed, a study titled The U.S. Employment Effects of Military and Domestic Spending Priorities was released. That study showed that $1 billion spent on the military would produce about 11,200 jobs, but the same $1 billion would produce over 17,000 healthcare jobs and more than 26,000 education jobs. In a country faced with high unemployment and repeated calls for jobs, 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 it's a wonder why we don't cut military spending and put those billions towards higher funding for health care and education. That's especially relevant when the vast majority of the public, at least based on this survey of 3,500 people in Maine, want much more spent for education and health care, and much less on the military. A simple switch in our spending priorities from military to education, healthcare, and other budget categories would represent public sentiment much more accurately and reduce our unemployment significantly. Wow, such an easy solution! Of course, it's not that easy, because military contractor corporations and their congressional allies are afraid to bite the bullet, pun intended, and move their money. So, if there's a $50 billion cut in the military budget in January 2013, it may be something to cheer about, even while Congress and military contractors lament it. It won't put money into programs the public supports, but it takes money out of a military budget that few people defend at its current level. Do you think a $50 billion cut in the military budget would be a good thing? I'm Larry Danziger wishing we could bring all those war dollars home for education, healthcare, and other local needs.